great.
But here's what he did. Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it. And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
I mean, you don't even have to think about it.
So let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just.
Yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just
ran down. Everybody,
amazing. I'm not gonna remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you guys?
Who's house?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined as always by my brother and the other great host of this show, Nick. And Nick, it's officially mock draft season. We have a mock draft for you guys in this episode. But first and most importantly, how are you, my good brother?
I'm doing good. Kind of crazy news around the league with the XFL kickoff rules coming in and just all the, you know, the December Christmas game, even though Christmas is on Wednesday this year. Just a lot
and
of
the hip drop tackle.
Hip drop tackle. Thank you. That was the other one I couldn't remember. Yeah, it's just weird, weird stuff to kind of start the week NFL-wise.
Yeah, it's all stuff you have to take into consideration with the draft upcoming in a month. But if you guys are enjoying the content that we're putting out, the mock draft stuff, the free agency stuff, everything in between the shorts, make sure that you guys like and subscribe. It's extremely important for the channel. We're continuously growing day by day, but the likes, subscribes, the comments, all the interaction and engagement helps grow the channel consistently. So we greatly appreciate you guys. We greatly appreciate Rams fans. And we got a lot more good content coming your way.
Yes, yes, we do.
Just
so weird. Cordarrelle Patterson gets picked up by the Steelers today, and you feel like it's a direct response to the new kickoff rules. And it's just funny to me that teams like Sean McVay and Les Snead are going to be watching XFL snaps of last year to figure out, you know, who in the draft could potentially help get them to a kickoff return touchdown this year.
Yeah, it's insane. It's a whole new ballgame, and it's all stuff that the league is going to reevaluate at this point next year just to see how everything netted out. But like in the sixth and seventh rounds, if you could find a specialist that could return kicks in that specific format, or even an undrafted guy, Nick, that's in the XFL, that could come in and do that kind of thing, the Rams will be looking at it. I imagine the tape will be viewed extensively. So here's what we're looking at for the draft. Main priorities. Just as we're setting the table for this draft, for this mock draft specifically, it's a stick and pick. So there's no trades. We just wanted to focus on top main priorities when it comes to edge, interior defensive tackle, linebacker. Also wanted to look at wide receiver, offensive tackle, and kicker as main priorities. And then as secondary needs, you can look at defensive back, running back, tight end, maybe even backup quarterback, but not necessarily a need with Stenson Bennett potentially coming back onto the roster this year and with the signing of Jimmy Garoppolo in the second spot. So here's what the Rams' draft picks look like right now. So first round pick, they got 19 overall. In the second, they got 52. In the third round, they got 83. And also they have 98. And then I think that one actually changed to 99 over the past couple of days. So, and then round five, no fourth round picks. Round five is pick 153. They also have pick 154 in round five. And then round six, they have four picks. So pick 195, pick 209, pick 213, and pick 217. And then that final pick, 254 in round seven. So 11 total picks. And just as we're kind of like looking at this stuff, as the Texas conversation continues with Byron Murphy II and the Aaron Donald replacement, I just wanted to flash this on your screen because there is a Texas connection with Les Snead. We already heard about the Xavier Worthy conversations and how Xavier Worthy was the fastest player Les Snead has ever scouted. Well, right now he's scouting Byron Murphy II with the assistance of his son, Tate Haver, who is the long snapper for the Texas Longhorns right now. So maybe a future long snapper for the Rams, maybe taking Alex Ward's spot as long snapper one day. But there's some inside information that led to the very first overall pick being Byron Murphy. The pick is in. Byron Murphy, interior defensive tackle for Texas. This is part of the plan to replace Aaron Donald. Like, he has the versatility as a nose tackle and as a three tech, similar to Kobe Turner. And I think those two would complement each other. Snead just made comments about Kobe Turner and having to replace the Aaron Donald vacancy and how he played a little bit of three tech and nose tackle. Having to do both of those jobs is next to impossible. He needs some help. Byron Murphy is the closest comparison in this draft to an Aaron Donald type player. He's not Aaron Donald by any means, but his frame is compact. He creates that insane leverage that Aaron Donald can create at 6'1". I think Aaron Donald was 6 foot. He has that elite combination of size and strength. And as an interior defense tackle, he has tons and tons of pass rush moves. I think what's really interesting about him is within the connection, like, yeah, we really like the fact that he could play next to Kobe Turner, but like, When Aaron Donald retired, he was the one that was posting on Instagram. He was the only one that I saw that said, "I'm next," with the goat emojis. Like, this is an interior defense tackle that absolutely means business and wants to come into the league and wreak havoc. So that would be the first overall pick that we would select Byron Murphy the second out of Texas.
A lot of what McVay and Snead and what I'm hearing, like, is that they knew Donald was going to retire at the end of last season after the Detroit game. They knew it was coming inevitably, and then they got official confirmation then. So I imagine from the get-go, everything that they have been doing with, like, draft prep has been, how are we going to fill that hole? And, I mean, just immediately by drafting somebody in the position, and by no means, like you said, is he going to be the next Aaron Donald, but it makes a lot of sense just to go after somebody to put in the same position that Aaron Donald was in.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see guys like Jared Verse or Liatu Latu or Johnny Newton or Chop Robinson in that position. You're at 19, so you're in a good spot. Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins. You might even see like an Amarius Mims or a Talese Fuaga in that kind of spot. So you're going to have a lot of options, which could lead to them potentially trading back. But for the sake of this, I just wanted to stick and pick the best player that I liked for the Rams' situation in 2024. The next player I drafted, Adisa Isaac.
This is just like fantasy football draft where nobody has the music exactly right. So it just goes on the loop.
That one was not perfectly timed. I'm not going to do that for everyone. But Adisa Isaac is the player that I feel like is getting overshadowed by Chop Robinson. Yeah, Chop Robinson was 14 pounds when he was born, and he's quite possibly the most explosive edge rusher in the draft. But this is a former team captain who plays with more recognition and more awareness pre and post snap than most of his counterparts. I love that from an edge rusher. I love the college production, the length, the motor that all suggests that he should eventually be a starter in a 3-4 pass rushing outside linebacker situation. He has the versatility, the explosiveness is there, but he's more known for the quickness and the hand striking and the nonstop motor than he is for all of the explosiveness. And, you know, I like all of the tools. I like the active hands and feet. The production I mentioned was all there. He's a little bit light in the legs, but you're drafting a prospect. You're not drafting a finished product. And I think it's a great player that you could play opposite of Byron Young, potentially in rotation with Michael Hoyt. So that's my second round pick, is Adisa Isaac, edge out of Penn State. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he wasn't 14 pounds at birth like Chop, but everything that we've talked about with the edge, but potentially bringing in Hassan Reddick and that whole, you know, egg nutshell or whatever you want to call it about, you know, bringing somebody in proven. If you're not able to do that and there's no guarantee that that deal can be made, then yeah, I mean, I like sticking with it and I like bringing in edge talent. And like you said, it's not a finished product. None of these guys are going to be a finished product. But last year was a lot of really young players. And I think one thing that the Rams do well is they can develop people to be, by the end of their first season, complete finished products. I mean, what we saw with Puka Nacua was literally historic. And hopefully that just trickles down with all these young guys.
Yeah, that kind of development is essential for an edge rusher. But I think he's the kind of player that can definitely get there. Just might take a little bit of time. But they have that in the building. They have that in their bag. And they will develop a player like that if they can get him in the building. The next player, round 3, pick 83. You know, this one was a really, really tough selection because you're thinking, if the Rams go defense with their first two picks, isn't McVay going to be clamoring at the bit to take an offensive player? Like, he's going to be bugging Leslie. Hey, look at this guy. Look at this receiver. Look at this running back. We could go this way. Like, you could go nuts and go Braden Fisk from Florida State if he's still hanging around. And you could have a front that consists of Byron Murphy II, Kobe Turner, and Braden Fisk. That would be nasty. I really like Junior Colson. He's a linebacker from Michigan. You could pair him next to Ernest Jones, and he could be a signal caller if Ernest Jones gets banged up. Same with Cedric Gray out of UNC, another player that I really like. But I took an offensive tackle that fell to me in Kieran Amegadije from Yale, and we love the Harvard background. He could be an eventual place replacement for Rob Havenstein or Alaric Jackson. And it's the size that was really intriguing. I initially wanted to get somebody that could be a hybrid blend of an interior exterior player, somebody that could play inside and outside. But this is just a strict offensive tackle that could be groomed into a starter one day, 6'5", 223 or 323. He's one of the bigger, stronger offensive linemen in the entire draft. And he has the background from Yale. He could be a bookend offensive tackle one day, has the smarts. He's the kind of player that I would want in the building, and I feel like fits the Rams' mold and could eventually take over for, I think, Rob Havenstein, who's going to be on his 10th year this year.
Crazy. He's the last St. Louis Ram, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Unfortunately, it's him. But you also don't know what's going to happen with Alaric Jackson in following years. And this guy has the size, the strength, the intangibles to be able to come in and protect the blind side of Matthew Stafford. So I mean, it's a third round pick, but, you know, you figure you have to go offense at some point early on.
Best case scenario, really, if they go interior D, edge, offensive tackle, you're really saying we do not like, you know, these first couple rounds, we are doing our best to see what we lost and putting people in positions to succeed in those exact roles where, you know, you get worried that with McVay and Snead, they love the weapons and they love the toys and they love to be able to, you know, have like these gadget players. So, you know, we'll get to that later, but still, it just feels like this is almost a fantasy, if you will, because this is what we, as you know, the Rand brothers, would love to see, but I'm not sure it's what we'll get.
Yeah, you're shoring up the trenches. And in additional mocks that we're going to do, I'm going to trade up for Romo Odunze. I'm probably going to trade back and take a player like Xavier Worthy. Like, I'm going to want those big-time flashy players. I 100% want that in the building, and I think that the Rams and Les Snead definitely have that on their radar. But I think for the sake of, like, this situation, what you need a couple of pillars to be able to fill the trenches and to be able to come back with that tough identity that you built on the offensive line already. You can come back with that on the opposite side in the defense just by addressing it with the first two picks. So then I went back to defense for my next draft pick, round three, pick number 99, Mike Sanristil from Michigan. He's a defensive back who I just really liked as I was evaluating him, just because he's a former receiver, as most of them are. But he showed off a ton of awareness and recognition on tape, especially as a zone defender. We know the direction that the Rams' defense is going to go. Chris Shull has alluded to it. It's going to be very much the same, with a couple of different nuances, a couple of different sub packages in the secondary, and maybe a couple of different rush packages to get to the quarterback in some creative ways. But for the most part, it's going to be a majority of the same. He lacks a bit in man, and I think it's mostly because he wasn't asked to do it a ton at the college level. They played a lot of zone in Michigan, but he's a gamer. He has really good instincts. He had 6 interceptions and took 2 of them back to the house for touchdowns in 2023. He's that kind of explosive athlete that I feel like could be an immediate fit in a match zone scheme in the NFL. And that's what the Rams run right now. Could it be a player that is in rotation opposite of Darius Williams with a Dakobe Durant and a Darion Kendrick? Sure. It could be a player that eventually goes on to own that role, because it doesn't seem like Kendrick or Dakobe Durant have outright owned it thus far in their careers. So I would like to bring in some more competition there, especially if you don't re-sign Akella Witherspoon. You need some more attention to the secondary, although they've already done a good job of bolstering it up with a player like Cam Curl and Darius Williams. But continue with the attention. Like, let's keep moving it in the right direction.
Yeah, more on defense, I think, is the better, because I think with our current roster on offense, I feel like they figured it out last year in the back half, where, like, they can go out and they can put up 25 to 30 points any given game. So, yeah. Bolstering up the defense, I like taking somebody from Michigan. I just like dudes under Harbaugh, which is, not to mention the fact that they won it all last year. So feels like you're bringing in somebody with championship caliber, you know, material, even though Stetson Bennett did that the year prior.
I knew you were going to say that. You won't let yourself forget. Jim Harbaugh is a great coach. The Michigan has a great program, and this is a player that they've already met with. So forget, you know, all the Stetson Bennett stuff. This is
well, apparently he's back in the building now. So, I mean, I'm fine with him being under Jimmy Garoppolo. It's fine. If he's the emergency third quarterback.
Yeah, it'd be a great, great third quarterback. So no fourth round picks. This is where I think it gets a little bit difficult and McVay gets a little bit eager. He's like, all right, we need a little more offense. We only took an offensive tackle so far. We've taken four defensive players. Can we go ahead and please draft some offense? So I took the player that I feel like Kyren Williams would be most compatible with as a dual-headed attack. This is a true thunder and lightning attack in Audric Estime, running back from Notre Dame. He's a big-time player. So I think he's 6'1", 221 pounds. In the fifth round, very similar to Kyren, Notre Dame, identical to Kyren. I feel like these kind of downhill-type complementary players are very popular in today's NFL, especially when you have a really good one-cut back like Kyren Williams, who could run the duo scheme very, very well. He's reactive with his cuts. He can hit the gas when necessary with a heavier foot. And I really like this quote from Lance Erlin. Once he picks up momentum, tackling him is like tackling a compact car. I think we've all had the desire to go after this type of running back after we watched Steven Jackson for most of our childhoods. But like the kind of complimentary back we don't have with Royce Freeman's not going to be re-signed. You have, I'm trying to think who else, Ronnie Rivers on the roster right now and Zach Evans, who was a draft pick last year. So this guy will compete. I mean, look at him in the picture. You could tell by his arms that he's big, strong, physical, and wants to move downhill. So I feel like this could be the best complimentary piece for Kyren. You're not going to take any snaps away from him, but you're going to be able to keep him off the field to keep him healthy and be able to some of those goal line situations. You don't have to wear him down. You can go back to Estime. Like these are brothers from Notre Dame. That would be a perfect pairing to me.
It also, like, a lot of what I saw last year when Kyren went down, it was like, okay, we don't have a bowling ball, C.J. Anderson. And then they brought in Daryl Henderson, and I was like, why are we letting him walk? I feel like he kind of is the best complimentary back to Kyren. And then, you know, if you're going to finally get a running back, I feel like this would be like a sneaky good time to pick one up. Yeah. The market is flooded with them. And yeah, I like that's some reasons why people don't like the Rams for fantasy purposes is because if you get to the goal line position, then you don't need your star running back to get in there. As long as you have just like a guy that can just kind of power through. I think it's absolutely great to bring in somebody there. And yeah, Notre Dame, another great program.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of copying the same methodology that you brought over with Kyren, but it's a player that truly will be complimentary in the backfield. Good in pass pro. Like he'll wear down defenses so that Kyren Williams can continuously attack them in the second and third levels. And that's what I want. I mean, I want to see Kyren go on and lead the league in rushing next year. And I think with this improved offensive front with Jonah Jackson and Steve Avila in the middle and Kevin Dotson being re-signed, like Kyren Williams is definitely on track to have a great year. It's just a matter of keeping his health sustained. And I think they'll do a good job of doing that if they bring in a running back in the fifth round.
To transition into our next pick, unless you have Christian McCaffrey or Derrick Henry, you kind of need running back by committee. I just don't think it works anymore with just like one guy. So
agreed.
To bring in somebody else like young and running back, it's all about fresh legs. So I absolutely love picking up somebody in the fifth round for that. Or, you know, if they absolutely fall in love with somebody that's seemed like they could be going the fourth round, maybe get rid of one of their six round picks or like a couple of them to go up and get somebody in the fourth. But I mean, that's just, that's all gravy.
Well, I 100% agree with that. I think they have to move into the fourth round because you have so much capital in the fifth and sixth rounds. You got six picks total in rounds five and six. So like figure out a way to move and figure out a way to make an adjustment. And I think that they will. So the next pick, I think, is going to be really interesting. We talked about this. Like you could potentially trade up into the fourth round to find a wide receiver that you really like. You could potentially trade up in the fourth round to find a running back you really like. This is a receiver that just fell right into my lap. Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver out of Rice. Like, he couldn't look more like his dad, Ed, who was a great player for the Denver Broncos. I think won a couple of Super Bowls with them and maybe won another with the 49ers. I would just love this ticket to San Francisco and see them, him and Christian, brothers, just go at it two times every single year. And he's the reason why I really like him is because he's a big slot target who would be able to play the F and the Z pretty seamlessly in rotation with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. And I think the Rams are going to need that, right? Because Cooper and Puka are both high volume target getters. And the kind of player that Luke McCaffrey is, he can come right off the bench. He could play either position. He can let, you know, Puka and Kupp get their fresh legs. And as this player continuously, McCaffrey fine-tunes his route running, he's going to just get better. Like, he's a former quarterback, has that in common with Cooper Kupp, has an extremely high football IQ, as we know from Christian and his dad, Ed. And, like, I think he would fit right into the Breakfast Club. And it's not your true X receiver, right? It's not an Xavier Leggett or an Xavier Worthy or the type of receiver who's going to go ahead and take the top off. But he's going to be the type of player who will be here, will be consistent, will be durable, and will be a high-volume target getter at some point. And maybe take over the role for like an Austin Trammell, you know, punt returner, kick returner type guy that can come in and rotate for Kupp when he needs to.
So, also, did I see this correctly? Van Jefferson went to the Steelers?
You may have. He's not with the Falcons anymore.
Yeah. I thought that was just kind of like, you know, out of nowhere. But still, yeah, anyway, regardless.
They got rid of Allen Robinson, and I think they added Van Jefferson, so.
Yeah, I know, just weird. It would be great to bring in a McCaffrey brother who has to, you know, who goes up against San Francisco twice a year, yeah, and, you know, touchdown McCaffrey, but it's on our side.
I was thinking, yeah, if Luke McCaffrey falls to that draft spot, because you have 154 and 155. So if McCaffrey falls there, or if a Brendan Rice falls there, you take Jerry Rice's son from USC. That would be another player that I would fall in love with in that spot. A lot of people are comparing him to Puka Nacua with some of his measurables and some of the things he did at the combine. Different players, completely different players. I think Brendan Rice is more of an X receiver, but you could definitely see them go in that kind of direction. So the next guy that I wanted to look at, and this is, you know, this was kind of best player available, which was kind of the methodology throughout the whole draft, but Tommy Eichenberg, linebacker from Ohio State. It's a 6th round pick, 196 overall, a really, really solid foundation in terms of college production at one of the best programs in the country. He can start as a special teams player. He could eventually rotate in with Christian Roseboom opposite of Ernest Jones. And when he fully understands the offense, he can serve as a backup signal caller to Ernest Jones if Ernest Jones is ever out of the lineup. And being that kind of extremely passionate player, one who cares, as Aaron Donald likes to say, plays with constant physicality at the point of attack, that's the kind of player that we want in the building. So that's kind of what I looked at from rounds 5 through 7 was, let's find extremely passionate players, former team captains, guys with great college production, and guys that are extremely physical and want to win. And that's Tommy Eichenberg from another good program at Ohio State. The next draft pick that I wanted to kind of focus on, and this one's a little bit of an anomaly because Tyler Higbee is going to start the year on the PUP list, and Hunter Long is going to be coming off of a significant injury. And this player also is kind of coming off of a couple of significant injuries in Eric All. So 6th round, 209, Eric All from tight end from Iowa fell right into my lap. And the tight end room right now consists of Colby Parkinson and Davis Allen. And combined, I think they're a really solid tandem, but I feel like the Rams need at least one more tight end to start the season. And yeah, he is, like I mentioned, he's coming off of some major injuries. He could be a really, really solid tight end 3 with some upside in the future if he's healthy to start the season. But, like, those are a couple of players later on in the draft that could be good value adds.
Yeah, I mean, the Tyler Higbee stuff, it sucks that we signed him to this huge deal and we're starting next season and he's not even going to be able to play. So I think with one of these 6th round picks, maybe even higher, if you really, really like a tight end, I want to bring him in. I know Rams fans want, Bauer?
Yeah, Brock Bowers. He's going to go way at the top, though. I know they were also looking at Theo Johnson from Penn State, a couple of others. I know there's a tight end from Michigan that I think we were looking at, too. But, like, tight end university from Iowa, Eric All, falls to the bottom, coming off of injuries, would fit right in. But if he gets healthy, you know, he could be a good backup tight end and would start the year on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the further you get down the line, it's not even guaranteed that these guys make it past, you know, the first week of it all.
Yeah, I know. That's, I mean, last year was an exception. Like, you almost needed to keep everybody on your roster. But, like, you know, sometimes seventh round picks get cut. Some of these guys, you know, they don't make it to the next phase, or they hang around on the practice squad and then they eventually get cut. So that's what makes it kind of tricky. But then after this, I went back to edge. So Adisa Isaac, we already have from Penn State, but I wanted to get some more edge versatility. And one of the things that Les Snead just mentioned in his owner's meeting, or the general manager's meeting, rather, yesterday, was how they want to get some solid rotational players in to help both Byron Young and Michael Hoyt. So that would assume, you know, four players, combination of power and strength and speed on both sides. So this is a player, more edge help, Brandon Jackson. He's a player who I would put in rotation with Byron Young because their games are kind of comparable. This is a kid, the quote was on Brandon Jackson, "Jackson plays the game like he never wants it to end," which to me makes it feel like it would be a really good pairing with a guy like Byron Young. But he plays with really, really good bend and powerful hips. This is stuff that you really don't find in the sixth round for an edge rusher. He's able to get through blockers, whether it's against the run or pass blocks. And he has some, I would say, weaker athletic traits, but like, you look at him physically, he doesn't look like a weaker athlete. He has the bend in his hips, which is the primary characteristic for an edge rusher. He has the arms. He has a little bit of twitchiness, but it's mostly the motor and the want to with a player like that. You get in the sixth round, who can come in, who can compete and hopefully earn a chance to go rush the quarterback at some point in the season.
Yeah. Edge is probably, you know, like maybe the most important thing I think that we need in the offseason, whether it's free agency or, I mean, maybe it's, you could argue it's interior defensive lineman with Aaron gone, but
yeah,
I think just bringing in more edge help, if you want to stack the sixth round with like a bunch of edge, I think that's totally fine. You know, hopefully you throw in a kicker there somewhere, but that's what the seventh round is for.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you want to draft another defensive tackle, you want to draft another edge rusher at this point, like, you have the capital, you have 11 draft picks total, so like, you might as well. Another kid that I looked at, though, because I was thinking double up receiver, I was thinking about the new kickoff rules. So with the sixth pick, or the sixth round pick, 217 overall, Ryan Flournoy, a wide receiver out of Southeast Missouri State. He's an X receiver. He has the size. He's over 6'1". I feel like he could become a legitimate NFL target. He has the special teams capabilities, and I feel like it would be a nice complement to a DeMarcus Robinson and a Tutu Atwell as an X receiver, as I mentioned. But he had some really memorable reps at the Senior Bowl. I was wondering, like, when I saw his name when I was doing these mock drafts, I'm like, where do I recognize that name, Flournoy? I was thinking of Dave Portnoy. I'm like, oh, Senior Bowl. He had some good reps at the Senior Bowl. He could be a really good day one special teams type player who contributes on kickoffs and punt returns, as I mentioned, and could eventually integrate himself into the offense because DeMarcus Robinson and Tutu Atwell are both on expiring deals this year. So
yeah, I mean, you know, Cooper Kupp, it's not going to be a Ram forever. I think it's important. Yeah, it's important to start, you know, watering that field of new wide receivers. And yeah, you know, Puka Nacua was amazing last year, but he can't play every single wide receiver position.
Exactly.
You
have to bring
people that can, you know, take it over the top and whatnot. So hopefully, yeah, I mean, like, here, like, I feel like it should be emphasized that you're looking to potentially strike gold in one of these guys because it's a crapshoot. Some of them could end up being like way higher valued. Some of them could even be lower valued. So you're hoping that, you know, you bring somebody in and it's just kind of the right fit for the team at the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's the exact right methodology. It's like some of these later guys, you're going to take a flyer on because there are maybe one or two characteristics you like about them. Maybe there's three or four things that you don't like about them, but you feel like you can coach those things out of them and get the best possible player as a steal, which the Rams have done. Kobe Turner, Kyron Williams, Puka Nacua, they're all late round smash hits. So that's the definitely the methodology that we're going for. And then kicker. Finally, kicker. We finally address kicker. Round 7, pick number 254. Joshua Carty, kicker from Stanford. It was really 2022 when I went back and I looked at his numbers. This is the reason why I was, I was pretty excited about this draft pick because he was 18 of 18, and 13 of those 18 makes were from 40 plus yards back in 2022. But then you look at 2023, he was 21 of 21 on extra points. Him and Brett Maher, imagine them two staring each other in the eye at a bar. Brett Maher is nervous looking at this guy who made 21 of 21 extra points. He was 23 of 27 on all field goals this season, 5 of 5 inside 30 yards, 7 of 8 from 30 to 39 yards, 7 of 7 from 40 to 49 yards, and from 50-plus, he was 4 of 7 with his long being 56 yards. So as a little guy, a little Stanford guy, we got Yale, we got Stanford, you know, we got some intelligence in the building.
Kicker, you just want somebody. Like last year, it felt like special teams was going to be the reason we lost. And it ended up not being the reason. It was actually red zone efficiency, which was kind of interesting. But there were so many times that, I mean, I think Maher cost us, or whoever it was, our rotation of circus kickers cost us like two games last year.
So it was Maher. I think the combination of Brett Maher, Lucas Havarisic, and Brett Rippon, what, lost us two games in the middle of the season?
I think that combination, if you want to throw in Rippon, I think that could have been three games, to be honest with you. Steelers and Green Bay are
more Green than two Bay, yeah.
Total. Yeah. And I feel like I'm missing one. But still, you know, it's an important position. It's somebody that scores a crap ton. I'm not going to say the S word. Crap ton of points. So you're hoping that you can just get a flyer on one of these guys, worry about it towards the end, not spend a lot of money on special teams like they've continuously done, and you know, hope for the best. But you know, like it was a really, you know, Greg the Leg helped get you to the Super Bowl. Matt Gay helped you win the Super Bowl. Like the more you ignore it, it's like a lie. It's going to keep growing and growing. You're eventually going to have to face it face to face. So hopefully they can get this kid in the seventh round and he just comes in and it's, you know, lickety split. It's no problem. Yeah. But, you know, who knows? Who's to say? Maybe they just
go. Yeah, you just never know with kickers. Who knows? We might go draft a Sammy Sloman out of the out of Ohio, Miami, from McVay's alma mater, who came in for a week and couldn't kick at all. Like you just sometimes their scouting department with kickers is just bad. But I want to go through the players real quick that we drafted. So first round, 19th overall pick, Byron Murphy, the second. Then we went Adisa Isaac in the second round, pick number 52. Then we went Kieran Omega DJ, third round, pick number 83. Then we went Mike Sandrastil, round 3, pick 99. Audric Estime, round 5, pick 154. Luke McCaffrey, round 5, pick 155. Tommy Eichenberg, round 6, pick 196. Eric All, round 6, pick 209. Brennan Jackson, round 6, pick 213. Ryan Flournoy, round 6, pick 217. And then Joshua Carty, round 7, pick 254. So that's the full squad. We drafted all 11 picks. A lot of new stuff will be coming at you guys. We're going to do a couple of different hypotheticals, mock draft situations, trading up, trading back. A lot of different stuff in between. We got a month until the draft. But if you guys are enjoying the episodes, you guys are enjoying everything that we're putting out, make sure that you
ram it.
We love you guys. Greatly appreciate you. Comment what you think of the mock draft. Let us know your thoughts on who you're looking at over the next month. We love the interaction. We love you guys. And go Rams, always.
Go Rams. No guarantee that any of these players end up in points. But that's not what matters. What matters is we're putting the time and the effort here, you know, to really think about it and, you know, put our best foot forward and bring you guys some fun content. So really appreciate you coming in and listening and hanging out with us for over half an hour.
Yeah. You guys are the best. Go Rams. Talk to you again soon. Peace.